Back on the Young Turks, members of the day are Hugh Hawes and Crystal Cardona. You too can become a member by going to tytnetwork.com/join, which makes sense because you join us. Okay, and now in today's postgame, I will explain to you how Donald Trump's dad was one of the original showboaters, literally. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I will explain what that means. It's really interesting.
Did he have a really nice boat that he liked to show off?
Close,
okay,
but not exactly. It did have to do with self-promotion. And then we'll talk a little bit about cable news' obsession with Russia.
Yeah, I do want to discuss that.
No, we want to discuss it.
It's making me crazy.
Okay, so I don't watch cable news, so it's I'm okay with it. Okay, anyway, Stabby666 says on YouTube Super Chat, praise Kofefe. Thank you for reminding me. I haven't called anything Fefe yet, but I will. Let's go to some tweet Fefes. Mugatu says, sorry, I'm out of sympathy. Tired of ex-Trump supporters suddenly realizing he doesn't give a shit about their problems. All right, fair enough. Mugatu, out of sympathy. Okay, not very lib of you, Mugatu, though. Not very lib Fefe of you.
You know, it's funny because with Trump, during the campaign, he was one of the he's a rarity because he was constantly telling the truth about what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And then people voted for him because they're like, nah.
Yeah, well,
right?
I mean,
like the one time a politician isn't lying to you about how hideous he is, you guys don't believe him. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's a strategic ambiguity. It's actually one of the oldest political tricks in the book. Obama does it in a thousand times more sophisticated way, but he kind of gives you whatever you want to hear, right? Trump would do it in another sophisticated way. He'd be like, I'm going to build a wall. No, I'm not. I'm going to cut Social Security. No, I'm not. I'm never going to cut Social Security. And then they're like, see, he said he's not going to cut Social Security.
Yeah.
It's kind of the old Sam Harris trick. Let's profile Muslims. I mean, Muslims are great.
I don't want to get into that dark hole of drama.
Okay.
But anyway, let's move on. Update on a story where I admit that I was absolutely wrong. Okay.
Wow.
Kathy Griffin made headlines this week after she posted a rather tasteless picture of herself holding a decapitated head that appeared to look like Donald Trump. Now, she got justified backlash as a result of that, and she ended up apologizing. And people on the left and right were criticizing her. We criticized her. We thought the image was in poor taste, was a really bad idea, and that type of violent imagery has no place in our society. And while we were covering that story, I said, look, it's different when private citizens do it, which I know that private citizens did some pretty horrendous stuff in regard to President Obama. And it's different when a public figure does it. You're held to a higher standard. You have certain responsibilities. And I said, to my knowledge, you know, we didn't have public figures on the right doing any type of violent imagery in regard to Obama. I was wrong. I forgot about someone because I guess I just block him from my memory because he grosses me out. Ted Nugent. Okay. So Ted Nugent, not on one occasion, but on several occasions, made threatening statements in regard to President Obama and also Hillary Clinton. So let me give you some examples. Let's go to graphic two. In the lead up to the 2012 presidential election, Ted Nugent made comments at an NRA meeting in St. Louis that led to an investigation by the Secret Service. He said, we need to ride into the battlefield and chop their and Obama administration's heads off in November. Okay.
So when he's referring to the Obama administration when he says chop their heads off. Now, okay, Secret Service has to look into that. What I love about that is how analogous it is to Kathy Griffin. And of course, you could argue worse. Now, I went off on Kathy Griffin because I hated that image and I wouldn't want it done to Obama, Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders, anybody, right? It's not the right thing to do. But when someone says no, and let's actually go do it, and Ted Nugent isn't joking. I mean, maybe he's using a metaphor, in which case you'd really, really want to be a little bit clear about that. But as you see the context of his other quotes, you realize it's not a metaphor. He is constantly threatening actual violence against political leaders. And he is celebrated in the right, including by Donald Trump. Again, we'll get to that in a second. But it's one thing for Kathy Griffin as a joke to show Trump's severed head. It's another thing for Nugent to tell a bunch of crazed right wingers, let's go actually do it and chop their heads off.
In 2012, he was also quoted as saying, if Barack Obama becomes the next president in November, again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year.
So, you know, this is Ted Nugent talking tough as usual. I don't know if that implied that, I guess he was implying that Obama was gonna come get him because Ted Nugent is such an important political figure and he needed to imprison him, or that he was gonna do something violent against Obama and hence would be imprisoned. But remember, Ted Nugent loves to talk tough because he's actually a giant coward. Hey, anybody remember how he got out of the Vietnam War? Oh, right, he crapped himself and he stewed in his own feces for a week and then showed up and pretended to be crazy, and they said, okay, you're gonna get a deferment out of Vietnam. This is a story Ted Nugent told, okay? Later, after people said, you know that makes you look like the worst person on earth. Many years later, he's like, okay, I retracted, I guess. He thought he was clever. He's like, I'm a coward, I don't wanna fight when my life's actually in danger, so I will crap myself. That's who Ted Nugent is. So now, since he's so deeply insecure about that, he has spent decades trying to make it up with, oh yeah, I got a machine gun, oh yeah, I'm gonna kill everybody, I'm gonna chop their heads off. Hey brother, you had a chance, you did, instead you crapped yourself. So, but anyway, it gets worse.
There's more. He would go on to say other things too, like a joke about assassinating Harry Reid, and that Obama and Hillary Clinton should be tried for treason and hung. By the way, it's hanged, that's the proper grammar, but nonetheless. Let's go to graphic 8, because there's more. He was quoted as saying, Obama, he's a piece of shit. I told him to suck on my machine gun.
See, for some reason, that's the one that I think puts me over the top. Because you can say, hey, let's, you know, we're gonna kick their ass, we're gonna kill them, we're gonna light them up, I don't know, we're gonna destroy them, eviscerate them. These are things that could be political metaphors. I'm not gonna get all worked up over that, right? But he keeps constantly talking about actually assassinating people and hanging them, etc. And so when he says suck on my machine gun, there's no political analogy where you suck on a machine gun, right? That's not a thing, that's not a saying, it's not in the English language. That means I would like to put a machine gun in your mouth and pull the trigger. Now, do we think Ted Nugent is gonna do it? I hope not, right? So,
just like we don't think Kathy Griffin is gonna decapitate Donald Trump's head, right? And by the way, for the billionth time, I'm not making excuses for Kathy Griffin. I did not agree with that image. I thought it was a terrible idea, and I'm glad she apologized. But now, you know, looking back and you know, looking back at it on retrospect, it just, the theme continues. This theme of Republicans do something, Democrats criticize them a little bit, and then we all move on. A liberal does something, and everyone loses it, right? And then that person apologizes, the apology isn't enough, you gotta fire her, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, Anderson Cooper's gotta throw her under the bus, you gotta destroy her life. It's just this weird double standard, and it makes me so incredibly angry. And even though I agree that she should have apologized, this kind of stuff makes me not ever want to apologize, even if there's wrongdoing. Because for what? For what? They never get the same treatment. Here's another statement from Ted Nugent. Hey Hillary, you might want to ride one of these into the sunset, you worthless bitch. He had his gun when he said that, right? Mm-hmm. And so he is not, like, it wasn't one thing that he said, it wasn't two things that he said. This is a constant theme in his rhetoric. And he gets a little bit of pushback from people on the left, but you think Republicans are speaking out against him? No, in fact, quite the opposite. Donald Trump invited him and other deplorables to the White House after he got elected. And in 2012, when all of this drama with Nugent went down, Trump took it upon himself to tweet, because that's pretty much the only thing he knows how to do, and defend Ted Nugent. Graphic 6, he says, Ted Nugent was obviously using a figure of speech. Unfortunate as it was, it just shows the anger people have toward Barack Obama. Well, did you feel the same way about Kathy Griffin and the anger that she might feel toward you? Not so much. In regard to Kathy Griffin, he said that she should be ashamed of herself. My children, especially my 11-year-old son Barron, are having a hard time with this. Sick.
How about when Ted Nugent said that Obama should suck out his machine gun and should be decapitated? He had children, he had young children just like you do now. Weren't they scarred by it?
Well, they don't matter.
So could you imagine if a Democratic politician came out and said, you know, it was a little tasteless what Kathy Griffin did, but you can understand her anger at Trump. So what are you gonna do? Makes sense. People are so angry at Trump. Yeah. And then they invited her over to their office. He invited Ted Nugent after all of this, after all of it, to the White House. So they have no morality. They claim to be part of the, you know, the moral crusaders, etc. It's Donald Trump. He grabs people by the genitals and he thinks he can get away with it because he's a celebrity. He ripped people off on Trump University. I mean, you know what he is. So of course he hangs out with a scumbag like Ted Nugent, one of the worst guys in the country. And then they go and take pictures making fun of Hillary Clinton in the White House. I mean, and they talked about Bill Clinton defiling the White House. Here's a guy who crapped himself so that he could get away from Vietnam while other people died in Vietnam. That's who you invited over, Ted Nugent? Because that's what right wingers are. They're hypocrites. They're giant, giant hypocrites.
Which is why my advice for those on the left is avoid inciting violence. Avoid doing something stupid like what Kathy Griffin did. But if you are aggressive and you do speak out and you do fight back against the right wing, don't ever apologize for it, okay? You might use language that's unsavory in an establishment political setting. Who cares? I'm done apologizing. I'm done. You call these people deplorables, don't take that comment back. That's what they are. They're deplorable. If they don't like it, maybe they should change their behavior. If you shit in your pants constantly just to avoid a draft, you're deplorable. You shit your pants and you sat stewing in your own shit for weeks. You're disgusting.
To be fair to Ted Nugent, I think it was only a week. Can you imagine sitting in your own filth for a week because you're that scared? So whatever progressives might say going forward, it can't possibly be as filthy as Ted Nugent's pants.
Anyway, all right. LeBron James was the victim of racist vandalism. His home in Los Angeles, which by the way is considered a very liberal part of America, was vandalized with spray paint. There was a racial slur spray painted on the gate of his home, the N-word to be specific. And so what's amazing about this whole story is not that it happened, which, you know, for people like us who cover stories like this on a regular basis, it seems kind of unsurprising. But the way that LeBron handled it when he was asked about it during a press conference, I think his statement was really powerful and I wanted to share it with you guys. Take a listen.
But it just goes to show that that racism will always be a part of the world, a part of America. And you know, hate, you know, in America, especially for African American, is living every day. And even though that, you know, that it's concealed most of the time, even though people hide their faces and will say things about you, and when they see you, they smile in your face, it's alive every single day. And I think back to Emmett Till's mom, actually. It's kind of one of the first things I thought of. And the reason that she had a open casket is because she wanted to show the world what her son went through as far as a hate crime and, you know, being black in America. So it's like, it doesn't, no matter how much money you have, no matter how famous you are, no matter how many people admire you, you know, being black in America is tough.
And most people don't have that fame and don't have that wealth. Being black in America then is even tougher. So unrelated story, but it gives you a sense of how tough it is. Recently, JP Morgan had to pay a huge fine because they were using third parties that would do mortgages and charge a little over, on average, over $1,000 more for black families getting the same house, meaning the same price of a house. Mm-hmm. So why? They're black, so I'm gonna charge them more money. Because their rationale, I imagine, is I don't trust them. They're less trustworthy, but they have the same credit. It's the same price for the house. No, I'm gonna charge them more. Now, so when people say things like white privilege, you know, people get pissed because they're thinking, I'm a poor white guy in the middle of Kentucky, I ain't got no privilege. But what you don't know is when you go to get a mortgage, you're not getting charged an extra $1,000, okay? But they are. That is one of dozens of examples I can give you. In LeBron's case, he is rich, he is famous, he's got a thousand things we don't have. So he has other privileges. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to his identity, well, those privileges don't help him. At the end of the day, they think it doesn't matter how rich and famous you are, you're still the N-word.
Right, so I wanna comment a little bit more on that, or elaborate on that a little more. Because what you hear time and time again from people who are overtly racist is, well, you know, they're lazy. You know, they like to stereotype the black community. They're lazy. They get involved in crime, black on black crime, and they bring up all this BS, right? And they say, if only, like, you know, if they worked as hard, or if they were as successful, if they were this, or if they were that. But in reality, it doesn't matter. LeBron James is obviously hugely successful. Right? Mm-hmm. He couldn't be more successful in the field of work that he does, right? He's one of the best basketball players in the NBA. He's wealthy. He has everything, you know, laid out for him. And it seems like he would be the last person who would be attacked by a racist person, or their house vandalized by a racist person. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how successful he is. It doesn't matter that he's not involved in crime or government programs or any of that. It doesn't matter. The only thing that mattered to that individual who spray painted that racial slur on his gate was the color of LeBron James's skin. And there's nothing LeBron James can change about his behavior to make that other individual look at him differently. And that's the part that's crazy. And you know, he mentioned how people will be a little, they'll hide their racism, they'll smile at your face, and you know, behind the scenes they're really hating you or whatever. But no, that was like 5 years ago. Things are different now. People are now overtly racist. They're proud of it. They parade it. They talk about it on social media. And that's the kind of rhetoric that was encouraged by the current administration that we have in office right now.
A really good example of it was just a couple of days ago. Chuck Woolery, game show host, came out and did this incredibly random tweet where he called Bernie Sanders basically a communist Jew. He says, is that a coincidence? I'm just pointing it out. It's like a weird old anti-Semitic stereotype about how Jews are actually communists and control the world or something, right? In the old days, Chuck Woolery would have thought that. He wouldn't have tweeted it publicly though.
That's right. Right. That's right.
So, and maybe some people would have, not maybe, a lot of people would have thought about LeBron James no matter how successful he was. And by the way, it's not just that he's talented and skilled. There's a lot of talented basketball players who don't work hard. And LeBron works his ass off and everybody knows that, and he's famous for it, right? But it doesn't matter if you work hard, they're gonna call you lazy anyway, they can call you the N-word anyway.
That's right.
And so now those guys have been empowered to go out there and do the spray painting and do all the different things that's happening. And I can't leave one of these stories when we talk about stereotypes without pointing out the irony. So the racist stereotypes are blacks are lazy. Remind me again who took slaves so they wouldn't have to do farm work? So they could just sit in their home and have other people do their work for them? Which was a lazy again? I'm pretty sure the slave owners who first took Native Americans as slaves and then African Americans as slaves, etc., were pretty freaking lazy when they didn't want to do their own work, okay? And then, oh, they do crime. How about the crime when you enslave someone and beat them and murder them and rape them? How about all those crimes? Oh, don't bring up the past, don't bring up the past. No, I'll stop bringing up the past the minute you stop with your racist stereotypes, okay?
Also, in recent days, the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. Experienced a few racist acts by unidentified individuals. There was a noose placed on the floor of an exhibition involving segregation. It was the second time this week a noose was found on the grounds of a Smithsonian institution. Also, a noose was found hanging from a tree outside of the Hirshhorn Museum, another Smithsonian institution that showcases contemporary art. So that's what's happening in the country right now.
So the last two things about it, because what the right-wing racists will now say is, oh, you guys are making it racial. Dude, I didn't put the noose up in the African-American Museum. We didn't write N-word on LeBron James' house. Mm-hmm. One of your racist friends did. So, oh, now you're gonna make a big story about it. Yes, when the guy's going to the NBA finals and he's what we thought was a beloved figure in America and is by a lot of people, and somebody writes a giant N-word on his house, that's a story.
We didn't create it.
Your racist friends did, okay?
But here's what the reality is, right? they'll say that as a way of silencing you or intimidating you so you don't cover stories like this and you don't talk about stories like this. You're not fooling anyone, okay?
Yes.
You're not gonna shut us up. You can call us whatever you want. I've been called every name under the sun and I don't care, right? So if you think I'm race baiting because I'm simply covering a story that I had no part in, have at it.
So writing the N-word is not race baiting, but pointing out that somebody wrote the N-word is race baiting.
Yeah.
No, so if you're trying to shut us up, how's that working out for you? Only the largest online news show in the world. But anyway, keep going.
Right. All right, we gotta take another break. We'll be right back.
All right, back on the Young Turks. I wanted to report the results of a poll we did recently. Is Cory Booker progressive, we asked.
Gee, I wonder how this poll is gonna.
Well, in Washington, it would be nearly 100% saying Cory Booker is progressive.
Washington does not watch us. Or if they do, it's not because they like us.
So our audience is not a nail biter here. 95% no, 5% yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then one tweet for you guys. Narcoleptic Bay says, Mallory says, I love that Jane Huger without fail mentions how Ted Nugent pooped on himself because he was a coward. Classic crapper, LOLOL. But you know what you reminded me of, Mallory? Is that they gave Obama so much grief for having Common at the White House. Because they're like, oh, Common's a rapper. He's a gangster rapper. No,
they called
him
a gangster rapper.
He's not a gangster rapper.
Oh, that was so funny.
But then it made me realize that Ted Nugent is a gangster crapper. Oh, I got to work that into a tweet. Anyway, all right, let's move forward.
All right. I don't even know what she is. What is she, like a tennis legend, this lady?
I guess I never heard of her because she's so old, but yes, she's.
Okay.
No, I'm just, right. I went out of my lifetime, but.
All right. A former tennis champion recently opened up in regard to her beliefs regarding tennis players and how there are just too many lesbians among them. And that they indoctrinate too many kids to also be lesbians.
Yeah.
This is an insane story. The tennis player's name is Margaret Court. She broke records back in the day. She was a big deal back in the day. But now she is a 74-year-old pastor living in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And here she is speaking to 2020 Vision Christian Radio, which sounds like a lot of fun.
Tennis is full of lesbians, because even when I was playing, there was only a couple there, but those couple that led that took young ones into parties and things, and things, they just, because they like to be around heroes, and you know, what you get at the top is often what you'll get right through that sport. The mind is a battlefield, and that's why I wrote that book, Train Your Brain. Because the mind isn't, it's all in the Bible. It's, God's got so much in there about the mind, how it affects us, affects our emotions, our feelings. And you can think, oh, I'm a boy, and it'll affect your emotions and feelings and everything else. And so that's all the devil. Well, that is a devil, but that's what Hitler did, and that's what communism did, got the mind of the children. And it's a whole plot in our nation and in the nations of the world to get the mind to the children.
Okay.
What?
So let's break down a couple of things. First of all, there's an excellent chance that Margaret Court is a lesbian.
Yeah, totally, okay. Totally. She's like, oh, it's the work of the devil.
Yeah,
lesbianism.
So she, in another quote, she said, we know that homosexuality is a lust of the flesh. So is adultery, fornication, all those things. They too know this. This is why they want marriage, because it's self-satisfying. I'll get to the marriage part in a second, but wait. If you're not gay, why would homosexuality be a lust of the flesh? It would be a lust. It's not really a lust. It's something that other people do that you're not that interested in. God bless their hearts, but you're not interested in it.
By the way, okay. if guess what? We all have fallen victim or prey to lust of the flesh. That's a great part of life. Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Right?
Amen. Can I get an amen? So anyway, so apparently she finds lesbianism very lusty, interesting. And then, but the thing that really put me over the top was her comments there about how the mind is a battlefield.
Right.
Because if you're not gay, there's no battle going on in your mind. You're interested, like if you're a guy, you're interested in girls, and that's what you're interested in, and where's the battle, right? I must have missed the battle, I missed the memo on that. But if you're bisexual or gay, there's a constant battle going on in your mind. I want to, but I shouldn't. It's the lust of the flesh, I shouldn't. The Bible says I shouldn't. They told me not to eat shrimp too, but I eat shrimp all the time. Anyway, okay. So her mind is a battlefield. It's almost all these folks say the same thing. Michael Savage, in that semi-autobiographical book, he's a right-wing lunatic on the radio, talks about how gays are terrible. But when he wrote about it himself, basically in a fictional book, he talked about how he would get up in the middle of the night and he'd want to have sex with guys so bad, and he constantly had this battle inside his head.
Or Pastor Manning, who we interviewed, you can check out that interview on youtube.com/TYTinterviews, where he talks about how people, like men, like to consume semen because semen tastes so good.
He's like, well, obviously, if you let people be gay, they would, because semen is delicious. Okay, well, all right, that's fairly clear wow. as to where you stand. So, and he thought Starbucks was putting semen into the coffees because, well, then obviously people will drink it more. So you get a sense of the battlefield that's in there in these people's heads. But in fact, it's these people who are putting propaganda out into the world. And she's also said that transgender children were the work of the devil. So there she is bullying and attacking
yes.
children, and doing it because she actually has feelings of her own that she's never come to terms with.
Right.
Why? She was brainwashed. She was brainwashed when she was young that this is all evil and that it's lust of the flesh and you shouldn't give into it. And she's been grappling with it for 74 years.
Now, of course, you know, everything that was just said is not verified. It is speculation. You can't take it with a grain of salt. However, if it is true that she lusts after women but has been suppressing it her entire life, I feel terrible for her, right? Like, just don't buy into that propaganda. It doesn't make you a bad person, right? I think it stems from ignorance. This weird idea that people make a lifestyle decision to be transgender or to be gay, as if being gay or transgender has been a lot of fun in society. They've dealt with so much persecution, so much discrimination, right? And so it's not a choice. And it's something that people need to be educated about, and unfortunately, I don't think that she is. Now, the bullying thing is important because apparently there is a stadium named after her in Australia. A tennis match is supposed to happen there, and now tennis players are saying, we don't want to play there, we feel uncomfortable, we want her name wiped off. And she's like, they're bullying me. Okay, glass house, throwing stones, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, or throwing rackets in this case. You're the one who was bullying kids in the first place. That's the reality. All right.
Bye-bye.